Great to have you with us. It's great to have Glenn and Wendy with us. Welcome, Wendy. Just pray for you. Bless you. Lord, thank you for Glenn. Lord, thank you for the years and the work and Lord, his energy, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you'll just speak through him. You'll anoint him afresh now. Lord, his words will come through, Glenn, with authority and power in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much indeed. Good morning. Before I start and set up, could I have a glass of water, please? Will it be possible? Brilliant, that. Wonderful. Let me just look at you for a minute. Let me just take this in and enjoy it. It's just good to be here. Yeah. It is. It really is. I not looked for any kind of invite, but I got an invite from the elders to come and speak. And it's a joy. It's an absolute joy. I can tell you that. Love you folks. Always have, always will. I think you know that.
Yeah.
And so what I brought this morning for you really is, it's not a Christmas message. When I was approached to come and speak, this was on my mind before actually, and it's something I've been looking at myself. We can Christmas relate it. I can Christmassify it if you want. But I always think when I speak on things, I generally speak on something that has touched my heart. Speak on something that God is doing in me. Okay, so that's where I'm coming from. This is really what God has been saying to me over recent weeks. I felt the Lord calling me deeper. What do I mean by that? Just in terms of reflecting on my attitudes, actions, motivations, my heart. And when you do that, you might think everything's going okay. But then God just highlights something, doesn't he? It's a little bit below where you were. And you think, oh, no. I wasn't looking for that, Lord. And God just calls you deeper, doesn't he? Not in a harsh way, but in a gentle way. And this came to me, really. We were at church where I'm, we're at Way. And I've been helping teach the midweek Bible studies, and we've been doing Romans. For those people that sat through my home group, I've got Debbie here and John laughing. I've already had some stick off Margaret Barraclough. Pardon me. We spent about 6 weeks going through Romans 1 and 2. I mean, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. So with the help of a good guy called Andrew Wallerton, we actually got through. Thanks very much, Fee. Appreciate that. Got through the whole of Romans in 10 weeks. And it was Romans 12 that kind of hit me, really. Can we just put up the scripture, please, Joel? Romans 12, verses 1 to 2. If you've got your Bibles with you, open them up. If you've got your Bibles here, switch them on. It's important to look at the Bible, I always think. Two important things we do as Christians is Bible and prayer. Listen to God, Bible and prayer. If you're not doing that, then you need to, because that's where God speaks to you. Bible and prayer, so important. And it's this scripture in Romans, got the ESV behind me, so I'll just read it. Romans 1 and 2, 12, 1 and 2. And I'm going to give you the context for this in a minute, okay? Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, note the plural, the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. And don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you might discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. And there's an allusion, there's a link there, an allusion there to the sacrificial time in the Old Testament when people brought sheep as a sacrifice, and the Apostle Paul saying, that's finished now. No, we're the sacrifice. You don't bring a sheep. You are the sheep. You are the sacrifice. And your living sacrifices, they've got to come onto the altar and sacrifice whatever before God. I wonder what altar you sacrifice at. Come to that in a minute. But the problem with living sacrifices is we climb off. I don't know how you are in your life and your world, but you know, you can come to God and you work on something and you work on something and you get something and you climb off. So I've entitled this talk, Keep Climbing. And that's my word to you, really. In your Christian walk, just keep climbing back on the altar. When God highlights something in your world or your life, could be small, could be big, personal to you, and you've climbed off, you climb back on. Just say, oh, Lord, again, I just want to lay myself before you. Oh, help me, help my heart. Constant prayer of mine is, help my heart, heart issue, help my heart. I wonder what altar you sacrifice at. Interesting. Because we all tend to have altars that we sacrifice on. Different ones. I heard this on the BBC a couple of weeks ago about a man, and I'm not criticizing this guy, okay? Not doing that. It's his passion, all right. But I'm just giving you an image of an altar people sacrifice at. This probably isn't any of you, but it's a bit extreme, but you'll get the gist. This guy who spends his retirement collecting anything related to crisps. So he's been around car boot sales, he's been online, he's been to all shops and factories, and he collects empty packets, crisp packets going back decades. He collects promotional items. In fact, he collects anything crisp related. The strange thing is he doesn't even like crisps. He doesn't. But he's got albums, the old photo albums before we had, sort of on this computer. He has albums full of crisp packets going back decades and decades. He's got mugs with Walker's crisps on them. He's got a room full of artifacts and memorabilia relating to crisps. Crisps are his altar. That's what he sacrifices to. And the amazing thing is his wife was on, and his wife says, hey, I'm proud of him. I know, okay, whatever floats your boat, whatever floats your boat. But I mean, another one, a real macabre, but this is gory, okay. So if you don't like gore, then this is a bit gory, really. Another lady who runs ultra marathons. I think that's a marathon in excess of 26 miles, so like 30 miles plus. Young lady, obviously, and it isn't Debbie. But she, on an ultra marathon, apparently, you lose toenails. And she paints her toenails like most ladies do. So she saves the toenails that she finds in her trainers. This is true. This is an ultra sacrifice. True. And she has them encased in sort of this plastic stuff. And then she uses them as coasters when guests come. So you go to her house and you have a cup of tea and she gives you a resin coaster with sort of pink and blue and red bits in it that she's saved. That's the altar that she sacrificed. So what altar do you sacrifice at? That's the question. That's the question. We all have altars that we sacrifice at. And it changes. Self. Loved ones. Attitude. Disappointment. Anger. Money. Job. Gym. Anxiety. Oh, that's a big altar to sacrifice at. Anxiety. Looks. Aspirations, dreams, hopes. Let me ask you this. What makes you burn? What do you burn for? Some folks burn for golf. I'm not looking at John Dawson when I say this. Or Matt Shaw. But some people do. And it's always a mind and a heart issue. Apostle Paul says, transform your mind. Don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Can we have my second slide, please, John? I've only got two slides. It's not going to be death by a PowerPoint. Can you read this? In view of God's mercy, keep climbing the bottom bit. And I'm going to talk about a heart of worship, heart turned upward. A heart of love, heart turned outward. And a heart of repentance, a heart turned inward. And you might say, well, why are you talking about the heart when the Apostle Paul says, renew your mind? Well, the Apostle Paul was a good psychologist. And he knew that it first of all comes to our mind, we think. Okay? So you think things, always check your thinking. And then your thinking becomes absorbed into your heart. And you then produce motivation, desire, attitude. And then your heart persuades your will into action. So then you act out of what comes into your mind, drops into your heart, and then you act out. It's really good to separate your mind and your will, because what you think, you don't have to do. People put those together. People think their mind is their will. I won't go there. But it's not. Your mind comes through your heart and then persuades your will. So it's a heart issue. And this is where some of the helpful things come to our heart. Things that motivate us passionately for God and for others. And it's where some toxic things come to our heart as well, something comes to our mind, it comes into our hearts, we accept it, we believe it, and we begin to act on it, really, you know. Really jealous of Matt Shaw's golf swing and John Dawson's golf swing. And you start to fester with jealousy and, you know, that kind of thing. So heart issue, really. So we're going to look at how we can transform our thinking, really. How to transform your thinking and transform your heart so that we make good choices and we sacrifice at the right altars. Because the Apostle Paul says, don't conform, transform. He says, renew your thinking. And I like to think of it, and I'm not being sexist here, but I have observed, I've been married for a long time, that ladies like to check their hair, you know. Check your lippy, that kind of thing. Not talking to you guys. But we've got to check our hearts in the same way that our ladies check the lippy and the hair. You know, you've got to check your heart on a regular basis. Keep checking in with your heart. What's my heart doing? What's my mind thinking? What's my mind persuading my heart to believe and do? Reevaluate. Keep resetting your heart. A bit like a sat-nav when you've gone wrong a bit, you know, and it says, take the second on the left. Got to really just check in line with the Bible. That's why it's so important to read your Bible every day and check your heart against what God's word says. Renew your mind on God's word and redirect your mind to your heart and renew your heart. And when your attitudes and when you're thinking, when your wrong thoughts and behaviors are contrary to what God's word says, rip them off. We've got to be brutal. That's what sacrifice is. It's brutal. You know, in the Old Testament, when they brought sacrifices to the temple, they didn't say to the lamb, "Come on, little lamb, would you like to come to the table?" No, it was bullied to the table, then it was slaughtered. And that's what we've just got to do it with our hearts and attitudes and our minds and reasoning and thinking. Is it biblical? Is it honouring to God? Might be good, but is it God? Is it honouring? Have I got to really slay this thing? And sometimes I find I've got to be brutal. And I brutalise it. And it's dead. And then a week later, it's alive again, and I climb off. Do you get that? You got to get back on again. It's Christian hard, isn't it? Christian life is not easy. Christian living is not easy. Do you know what? I think I read this somewhere, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Is that in the Bible somewhere? That, do you think? Have you heard that in the Bible? I think so. Is it a bit of a war, Christian? You betcha it's a war. We're in a war. You're in a war mentally, physically, emotionally. And we have to keep realigning. Ripping things off and burning them before God can be painful. Page one. I'm never going to finish this. It takes will to climb back on. Keep climbing. It takes will. But, you know, aligning our motivation and our thinking with the Bible and sacrificing our way for God's way is the only way to save yourself. Now, I'm not saying that you can get salvation outside of Jesus. I'm not saying that. Hear me. I'm talking about your soul and your mental health. The only way that you can keep yourself sane and mentally good and your soul healthy is to keep rechecking and sacrificing before God, becoming a living sacrifice. It's the only way. So how do we do this? This is where we're up to. And pass me introduction. Going to get into the message now. First of all, a heart of worship, a heart turned upward. Don't forget, talking about the mind, but mind persuades your heart. And just where does this come from in Romans 12? Well, if you read through Romans 1 to 12, you'll find out that what the Apostle Paul has done, he's just told us through 11 chapters all about what God has done for us, what God's mercies are. Pardon me. You know, I've had colds. We're about 6 weeks in. It keeps coming back at me. But notice that. It says, in view of God's mercies in Romans 12, 1. Mercies, not mercy. God has been so merciful to you and to me. And you read through Romans 1 to 12 and you realise that we were in, and mankind is in, a terrible position before God because of our sin. And God can't ignore your sin and mine. God won't ignore it. He's a holy God. He can't ignore it. And we've all, he says, fallen short of the standard God has. This idea when we get to heaven, we'll walk in and say, "Well, Lord, you know, I've done my best." Rubbish. It's like the kid bringing his homework and saying to the teacher, "Well, I tried hard, miss." "No, you didn't." We can't cut it ourselves. We fall short of God's standard every single time. A problem. Because God's got to separate himself from sin. And that happens at death, and that's a horrendous prospect, to be away from God forever. So what God did in his mercy, he sent in Emmanuel. We sung about it. This is where I'm going to Christmas. I'll Christmasify it for you now if you want. Yeah. He sent Emmanuel, didn't he? Which means God with us. Thank God he did. Praise you, Lord, he did. God with us. And Jesus came, didn't he? The creator became the created. The fingers that laid the stars in the universe worked wood in a workshop. He left everything, heaven's glory and power, and came for what? To die on a cross. So that the gap between me and God can be closed. And that what I deserve in terms of punishment for my sin could be excused because he took the rap. He served the sentence. He died the death. And then more than that, he says to us, look, in my house there are many mansions. And I've got one for you. And when that time comes for you to go, for you to die, don't worry. Because I've paid the price because of my mercy. And not only that, what I had in heaven, you're going to have. Got a place for you. It's going to be great. What? For me? So this idea of, and that's a very poor explanation, but this idea of God's mercies should motivate, it should fuel us to say, what can I sacrifice for you, O Lord? What do you want in my heart doing? What do you want in my life? So he says, Paul says, in view of God's mercies, present yourself, which is your reasonable worship. It's logical. If God has done so much for you, it's logical to do things for him, to want to serve him with your heart. Wonderful. God's mercies are like waves crashing on a seashore. They never end. If you need some of God's mercy today and you think you've blown it, forget it. It's like watching the waves on the seashore. Just keep crashing in. Crashing in, crashing over you. Mercy after mercy, grace after grace, blessing after blessing. And the Apostle Paul says that should really fuel us to become what God wants us to be and have lives that honour him and please him. And in sacrificing, we find the Saviour, don't we? So a question. I wonder, as I've been speaking to you, and this is to my own heart as well, I've examined this, spent hours and hours and hours on this. What is God calling you to tear off today as an act of worship? What is God calling you to tear off today as an act of worship? As we turn our hearts upward to the Lord with an expression of thank you. For what you've done, what is he calling you to tear off? Second, a heart of love, a heart turned outward. Oh boy, heart turned outward. It's so easy for our hearts to turn inward and become egocentric and self-centered. And worry about our issues and what's happening to me and what was done to me. So easy to do that. And that is so devastating and destructive. C.S. Lewis said this, I love C.S. Lewis, said this. He said, God has forgiven the inexcusable in us so that we must forgive the inexcusable in others. Take that. Take it away. When someone offends you, and they will. And the closer they are to you, the more they'll offend you. Family, good friends. But because our minds should be inflamed with God's mercies and what Jesus has done for us, we should choose to transform as we look outward towards others. So let me ask you this. In looking outward, as an act of God's mercy, who can I be, who can you be gracious to today? Who can you extend grace to today? Who can I bless today as an act of worship to God? That might be a sacrifice. Might mean you remove an attitude. Who can I serve today? Looking outward. Who can I serve today? What can I do by way of serving someone, particularly the church? You know, the Apostle Paul says that we should love each other deeply. Who can I serve today? Would you like to be loved? This is counterintuitive, but to receive love, you've got to give love. You can't demand love. If you want to be loved, give love. Be a loving person. Would you like some joy today? Counterintuitive. If you want joy in your world, bring joy to others. Because the joy comes back. It can be a sacrifice. It can be really painful to do that. I don't feel like being joyful. I don't feel like being loving. Not a feeling. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you want to walk in the supernatural, walk in forgiveness. If you want to walk in the supernatural, walk in love. Sacrificial love. If you want to walk in joy. If you want to walk in the supernatural, walk in joy. Sacrifice, but it means giving ourselves outward to others that we wouldn't maybe normally do. How can I love my neighbour today as an act of worship? You know, God calls us to love two types of people. To love our neighbours and love our
enemies.
Our enemies, thank you. Wow, that's sacrificial. And G.K. Chesterton said, it's probably because usually they're the same people. So, question for you. Climbing on the altar, keep climbing. Which enemy can I pray for today? Which enemy can I pray for today? I don't mean God curse them. Lord burn them. Bring down fire. Pray for a blessing upon your enemies. So which enemy can you pray for a blessing over today? Could be somebody at work that gives you a really hard time. Can be a family friend. Can be a family member. It can be a friend. Could be a neighbour who's deliberately, you know, is difficult with you. But in view of God's mercies, as an act of sacrifice, rip off old attitudes, and align with what the Bible says. Pray a blessing over them. Pray a blessing over them. Where do I need to renew my heart today and become a sacrifice? How can I reset my mind and heart to love more deeply? It's so easy to turn inwards rather than turn outwards. But when we turn outwards and we think about the needs of others, that's often a key to soothing anxieties, because anxieties are inward focused. When we reach out in love, often, and we care for others, our anxieties diminish. Deep one for you, but St. Augustine said this. Read this in the summer and it stayed with me, because I get anxious. I'm not telling you that all these things, by the way, are absolutely, you know, hunky-dory in my world. I'm telling you how God's challenging me. Anxiety, Augustine said this, anxiety is the smoke from the ruins of an imploding idol. Think about that one. Okay, we're not going there. Last heading. A heart of repentance. A heart turned inwards. So when your heart turns in, I don't recommend that you turn it in self-pity. Rather than do that, turn it out. But when your heart turns in, turn it in reflection and repentance. Reflection and repentance. But I would encourage you to renew your thinking in terms of the way that our culture influences or squeezes you. We have a culture, particularly at Christmas, that tries to... A good translation from Romans 12 is J.B. Phillips, he said, don't let the world squeeze you into its mould. Because we have, and particularly for young people, I'm not talking about people under 40, I'm talking people under 25, people that I jive with these days. but particularly for young people, the world tries to squeeze. Social media is a good thing and it's an awful thing. It's the best thing invented and it's the worst thing invented. Social media will try and squeeze you into a mold that is not God-shaped. Just guard your heart. I'm not condemning you. Just guard your heart. When you look at things on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, the stuff there that presents to you the way that you should look. I mean, there's one that, I lost my notes here. Where am I going? There's one that is, looks maxing. How you can max your looks. Wow. Come on. Bet Sam Dixon's been on that one. Looks maxing. You know, to tell you how you, what kind of figure shape you should have and what kind of looks you should have. And listen, just don't go there because it's unhelpful. The world's trying to squeeze you into a mould that is not a God-shaped mould. Do you know God has designed you exactly how you are? God knows the hairs on your head and in his eyes you are perfect. And let me tell you this, he's got the perfect person for you as well. Just down the road awaiting. Just stay with God. Listen to the Lord. But don't let the world squeeze you into it, especially at Christmas time. You know, you look at sort of the TV, and Wendy and I watch TV. She watched the Dancing Last Night final, and I read, and then watched it at the end when we saw the guy who won, which I've rooted for weeks. So TV's okay. But just be careful, okay? Things like, you know, Love Island. What message is that sending, really? I mean, you know, they would not have me on Love Island. I wouldn't have ever qualified to go on Love Island. Not tall enough, not hunky enough, not good looking enough. Just, you know, but it gives a message, doesn't it? And then you think, I mean, Nolan Bradshaw, he'll be thinking, I need to look like that. You know, and they're like, can you see what I mean? Other things, you know, the TikTok videos that are just unrealistic projections of what you're supposed to aspire to. Just remember that those aren't godly things. They're not biblical things. They can be dangerous. And it's far better to just rip them off and say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go there. You look again at TV. What on earth? Programs like Cheaters. What is that teaching us? What mold is that squeezing us into? Traitors. What's all that about? You know, what mold is that pushing you into? There's even a website over in Canada I've not been on that encourages married people to have an affair. Wow. Just what is the world squeezing? And it's so easy. It is so easy to allow our hearts to slide towards that mold. It is so easy. So just check your heart. Not beating you, telling you what God's saying to me. Just check your heart. Heart turned inwards in reflection. What attitudes are we being pressed to accept? Let me ask you a question. Are the images that I look at helpful or hindrous? Are they turning my heart or helping my heart? What about attitudes? Are they promoting love? Again, I want a good prayer is, Lord, just change me and take me deeper. Lord, just change me and take me deeper. I wonder how God's speaking to you this morning. I'm nearly done. But I wonder how God's speaking to you this morning. We're all tempted when God challenges us with things. Painful things, and I've been challenged with those. I don't deny that. To cover ourselves, rather than rip things off us. To cover ourselves. To protect ourselves. Can't go there, you know. Looking inward. Don't touch that. Just protect ourselves. And it can be really unhelpful. It can be hard to align ourselves with what God's word says and take painful steps. We all do that. And I just wonder what it might mean for you today to be a living sacrifice. What might that mean for you and I today? To be a living sacrifice. And maybe the things that you want to rip off. Let me close with this. I'm going to close with this in a prayer. I think I may have read this before to you. It's a C.S. Lewis piece. And he's talking about repentance and turning. It says in one of C.S. Lewis's Narnia books, a boy named Eustace is turned into a dragon. Later, he's invited by Aslan the lion, the Christ figure in the story, to bathe in a pool that will cleanse Eustace, remake him and rebirth him. But first he's told he must undress. Eustace is confused by this until he realizes that it means that he must shed his old dragon skin. In other words, he has to repent. He has to confess and tell the truth about himself. He tries to do this, but it's really hard work and it takes a long time. But he peels off the hard, scaly dragon skin. And when he goes to the water and looks down at his foot, he notices that it's just as hard and scaly as it was before he started. In other words, there was a whole new layer of dragon skin under the first layer. He tries again, but the same thing keeps happening until he finally despairs. And then Aslan says to him, "You'll have to let me do it." And here's how Eustace describes the experience. I was afraid of his claws, I can tell you. But I was pretty desperate now. So I just lay flat on my back and let him do it. The very first tear he made was so deep that I thought it had gone right into my heart. And then he began pulling the skin off, and it hurt worse than anything I'd ever felt. The only thing that made me able to bear it was just the pleasure of feeling the stuff peel off. You know, if you've ever picked a scab off a sore place, it hurts like billy-o, but it's such fun seeing it come away. Well, he peeled the beastly stuff right off. And just as I thought I'd done it myself three times, only they hadn't hurt. And then there it was lying on the grass, only ever so much thicker and darker and more nobly looking than the others had been. And there I was, as smooth as a soft peeled branch, and smaller than I'd been. And then he caught hold of me. I didn't like it much, for I was very tender underneath the skin I hadn't got on, and he threw me into the water. It's smarter like anything, but only for a moment. After that, it became perfectly delicious. And soon I started swimming around and splashing, and I found that all the pain had gone from my arm. And then I saw why. I turned into a boy again. The Lord wants to renew our hearts in view of his mercies. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. And don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good and pleasing and the perfect will of God. Let's just pray. And let me ask you again as I do this, what might it mean for you today to become a living sacrifice? Let me just pray. Lord, I come to you. Lord, you know my heart. Every thought, desire, motivation. Lord, take me deeper. Help me to transform my mind and my heart. Lord, in view of your great mercies, inflame me with a passion to sacrifice more of me to you.